Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. And welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on this Monday afternoon, or maybe Monday evening, or maybe even Tuesday morning where you are. We always like it when you spend the time with us. We sure like spending the time getting to do what we get to do. The number is 888-318-7884. We got a really good Monday show for you. Not like our usual Monday show, Darren. This is a good one. You scheduled a good one. Second hour, Scott Wieman will be here, and we'll talk about the 12 steps and the sacraments and just addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, which we always we just get a great response when we do that with Scott. So if that is something you'd like to talk about, maybe your own personal situation, maybe a family, a member, a friend, or you'd just like to know more from Scott, you're welcome to call second hour for that one. First hour, a tough topic, frankly, because we're pro-life people. We don't try to hide that fact. We're pro-life Catholics here at Catholic Answers. And then the IVF issue comes out, and there's a wonderful, very helpful new book out from just one of the best voices in the Catholic public space these days. Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist, theologian, and philosopher, has a new book called IVF is Not the Way, the False Promise of Artificial Procreation. Dr. Stacy Trusenko, thank you for being here with us.
Hi, Cy. Well, thank you for having me back. It's an honor always to be on your show.
It's weird that this weekend there was an IVF clinic blown up. Or did you hear about that in Palm Springs?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you got to say right from the beginning, you shouldn't blow things up, including IVF clinics. Don't do that. That's a bad thing. But it was strange because, you know, you wonder, who's this going to be that blew up a IVF clinic? And the poor young man just seems so confused and depressed. He was, at least that's the way he seemed to me. He's against life. He just doesn't believe in human life, and he thinks these people are doing evil by bringing life into the world. You would say there's a lot of evil that goes on in an IVF clinic, but the life of the child is not the evil.
Exactly. The IVF, the Catholic Church is against IVF and always has been, even since artificial insemination for humans was even first medically mentioned in the 1800s. The Church has always found that to be a separation of the love-making and the life-giving aspect of marriage. And so while we love new babies and new human life, doing it that way, dominating something where we're supposed to cooperate with God, it's not the way to bring a new human life into existence.
That's a tough one for a lot of people because they see that as inconsistent with the pro-life position. They see that as somehow hypocritical. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, there was a Pew poll that said, you know, for the percentage of Americans who are pro-life and believe life begins at conception, they're still in favor of IVF. A large percentage of that percentage was still in favor of IVF. And it calls for a deeper question about what people think IVF is, because not only is the Church against it for separating lovemaking and life-giving, it also has led to and will lead to human embryos in cryogenic storage tanks. So you can't both believe that life begins at conception and also believe it's okay to store those babies living but not allowed to grow in a freezer until somebody wants to raise them. We don't do that with our children. So it's a complicated issue, and I think there just needs to be a lot more education on it in the general public.
You said until somebody chooses, but many of those children are merely just abandoned. The embryonic human beings are just abandoned.
I was horrified to learn that in the United States, there is an estimated between 4 and 10 million human embryos in cryogenic storage tanks right now. And why is it so large? Because no one's really sure of the real number. The distribution is so large, 4 to 10 million, somewhere in there. But millions of human embryonic children are in storage tanks. Some parents choose to leave them there because they think they might want to raise them later, which when you really think about what we're saying, that's not okay. But then a lot of them do just abandon them until they make a decision whether to donate them to science, which will result in killing them, or to just kill them outright, or to it brings into question the whole issue of embryo adoption. Well, so it's an absurd fate.
Let me, if I may, raise what I think is the primary objection to your position. IVF is not the way. It's the title of your book, but it is also your position that this is not the way we should be making families and conceiving children. But here's the primary objection. You and I say embryonic human or embryonic human baby or embryonic child, and all people go, look, it's an embryo. Embryo is this is not a human being. It hasn't achieved the status of a human being.
So we're back to that, and that's the age-old question with all the pro-life issues. And I mean, if someone says an embryo is not a living human, that person is not in accord with science. You know, Trent Horn, Catholic Answers, you guys have nailed that question down repeatedly, that even science supports the idea that if you have a living human embryo, that is a living human, period, at a different stage of development. They're not consistent with what science says. If a person denies that, they're not consistent with what the church is saying and even what the IVF industry is saying, because if these embryos were insignificant and inconsequential, they wouldn't be stored in freezers at all. They would just be killed. And there's a reason people want them. You know, we have situations where tanks have accidentally been unplugged and the embryos accidentally thawed, and people that put them there were devastated because they realized those were my children. So we have a big issue in our country right now about the moral status of the human embryo. So I'm really glad we're having the conversation as a nation.
Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We encourage those who disagree with us to call. These are the very conversations that we would like to have. So if you're a fellow pro-life Christian or pro-life person of any persuasion, you're welcome to call. But if you find Stacy's arguments not compelling, if they offend your sensibilities and you'd like to have that conversation with us, you please feel welcome here. 888-318-7884. The new book from Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, scientist, theologian, and philosopher, is IVF is Not the Way, the False Promise of Artificial Procreation. But some people, this is the only way they can get a baby.
Yeah. Yes, and it's a very delicate topic to talk about. And even when just the book cover came out, there were Catholic families who got really offended and upset with me, because they took, even just reading the book cover, it has a little baby in a test tube, you know, because we started out calling them test tube babies back in the 70s, but they get offended because they think we're saying their children are not worthy as children, or that there's something wrong with their children. And that's not what we're saying at all. I mean, the church's position is actually against IVF because children are such gifts. It's not the fitting way to bring a new human into existence. It's dominating. It's not cooperating with God. So it takes some delicacy in learning to talk about this topic. And what I did in the book was I just started at square one, God exists. And I built the argument from there, but it's not solely a religious argument. It's just that if you really want to get underneath why we even think human life has dignity and is valued at all, you do have to be able to go all the way back to God. We know through natural reason that God exists. And so I laid all that out in the book, all the way up to why IVF is not the way to bring a human child into existence in the laboratory, just so that whenever the reader is engaging with these arguments in society, my hope is that they're ready to jump in at any point in the bigger argument, but they know where they are in the argument. It always helps me if I kind of if I'm just doing the icing on the cake, but I know what's all underneath it. I know I can talk in any direction the person wants me to go. I find that helpful.
Dr. Stacy Trusenko is our guest, 888-318-7884, the number. So science can tell us what it is.
Yes.
But you're saying, really, you can't avoid the God question because there are people who don't value it even when they know what it is. I mean, there are people who don't share the view that, look, each instance of human life is sacred. It must not be violated. You can't enslave. You can't use. You can't freeze. You can't abuse in any way this creature, which is a creature that's equal in its nature to you. There's just many people that just don't see that part of it. They might even agree with the science. Yeah, I know that technically, sure, this is human life. It's not a salamander. You know, it's not a palm tree, but it's not really human life in the sense of having value.
Yeah, and that's why I go all the way back to God's existence, because I don't know. I'm a convert, and I used to be of the persuasion that things like this were okay, that anything science can do is good and technology is good. And I didn't know how to navigate the moral landscape because I wasn't Catholic and I didn't know all these things. And I was a chemist. I didn't really see the dignity of human life over anything else. But to understand what we're talking about here, you do have to get into how we know that humans have dignity, because they're made in the image and likeness of God. So not only that God exists, but that God spoke to us and became incarnate and told us about the Holy Trinity, that he is the Holy Trinity. And from there, we understand that we're made in the image and likeness of God with a rational soul capable of, you know, with the powers of intellect and free will to make moral decisions and to reason. And so we're special because of that. And that means we're special from day one. And that is behind all of the language in the church that children are gifts. And that in the marital act, the conjugal act, we cannot separate love making and life giving. You have to keep the procreative and the unitive aspect of marriage together, because it is so special to bring a unique human life into existence that it needs to be within that scenario of the ultimate intimacy, the ultimate love between parents. It's the right the child has to be brought into existence that way. And I didn't know any of that till I became Catholic. So I understand what it's like not to think that way and to have to change what you're thinking, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it's the truth about human beings. As that's one of the qualities of things being true is they are beautiful, and it's one of the qualities of things being beautiful, they are true. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. And again, I want to encourage you, the hard conversations, we don't want to avoid them. We want to have those conversations. But if you have just a question about a curious question or a clarification you need, that's welcome as well. IVF is Not the Way is the new book from Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. The False Promise of Artificial Procreation is the subtitle. Two lines open. We'll be right back with more Dr. Stacy on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you looking to study Catholic theology in a formal way with the guidance of faithful scholars? Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by the Augustine Institute, offering master's degrees in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education with flexible study options on campus, online, or both. The Augustine Institute equips students to serve Christ and his church in schools, parishes, dioceses, apostolates, and the home. Learn more today at augustine.edu.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1984. Mother Angelica Live is the only religious program nominated for an award for cable excellence. Later in the year, she wins a Gabriel Personal Achievement Award from Catholic Broadcasters and Communicators.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Stacy Trusenko is our guest. You know Dr. Stacy, doing the faith and science shows with us for years. She wrote a wonderful book called Particles of Faith, which is about the intersection of faith and science and the ways that they are part of the whole view and are complementary and helpful to one another. The new book, again, IVF is Not the Way, and we're talking about in vitro fertilization today. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll start with Laura in North Carolina. Laura, you are on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Thank you for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Thank you, Cy. And hi, Dr. Stacy. So once I really understood the Catholic argument against IVF, I completely embraced it, and I remain totally on board. But one aspect I still don't get has to do with how you led off. As I heard you say, IVF is not the way to bring human life into existence because it's not cooperating with God in lovemaking and life-giving. So what I still don't get is, why would God even allow such creatures as us to come into being in the first place that way? Why would God even ensoul them as human beings if it's so wrong to be created that way?
Yes, Laura, that is an excellent question. It is the kind of question that we really don't get into with the abortion debate because it's on the other end of killing. This is bringing into existence, but that is an excellent question, and I'm sure a lot of people have that question. And it comes down to free will. I mean, God created us with free will, and He created us with reason, and there are lots of ways the right way to bring a human child into existence is the unitive and procreative aspect of the conjugal act united. The totally right way is you have a loving mother and father, man and woman married, who are going to become the mother and father, who have all their problems solved in all their marriage, and they're completely united to become one, and in the perfect act of lovemaking, this child comes into existence. That ideal falls short in so many ways for so many people. There are all kinds of ways when we're not doing it exactly the right way that God still allows a child to come into existence. If there's a teenage woman who's a teenage girl who has sex out of marriage and becomes pregnant, you could say the same thing. Why did God allow this child to come into existence in this way? Or even, you know, the horrible situation of rape, or even if you have, all the other ways where there is sex outside of marriage, because that's what IVF is. It's putting the sperm and the egg together. Fertilization outside of marriage, outside of the marital act. And that brings up other questions, and I know that. I'm just going to set that aside. But God allows the creature to come into existence even though our actions were not right because of free will. And philosophically, if you want to get into that, God grants the existence and the essence and every moment of our existence to every single one of us and to every single thing that exists out there, including every single atom that makes up everything. God is granting existence to these things. And the matter is disposed to the form. So the form of the new human, the essence, the new human can be there in this situation where the matter is disposed to it, even if it's like in the petri dish in the lab. What the parents chose to do is wrong, but it's still a situation where the embryo can form. And so God will allow that to happen because that's how human lives come into existence. It's just that the humans tried to take over and dominate in that situation. And so the best way I know how to answer that question is people are created all the time, even when the parents aren't doing it the exact right, most perfect way.
What do you think, Laura?
Yeah, I appreciate the calling out the fact that unlike other methods where you're doing normal human intercourse, whether through rape or non-consensual coupling and so forth, this way where humans are one degree removed with sort of interfering technologically and so on, I thought that was sort of a game changer or set it completely apart. But really, when I, you helped me now in the way you put it, you helped me telescope out and realize, well, God is still allowing the natural laws of physics and biology and so on to operate. And that includes us as part of that whole natural system interacting with it. And when I look at it that way, that I guess I can understand the allowance that God makes, because it's just part of the whole large complex system with his permissive will.
Yeah. And Laura, you put it better than I did. You said God still allows the laws of nature to act in the way that they're created to act. And that is true. That's what happens.
I thought so too, Laura. I thought you put it better than Stacy did. Yeah. Congratulations on that. Laura, when does your book come out?
Enough out of me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. That was great. Thank you, Laura.
Carl in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead, Carl, with your question.
I just had a question. You know, intuitively, you know, my Catholic sense is that IVF is wrong, but and that the dignity of the baby is being somehow violated. I mean, intuitively, I have that feeling, but I don't really understand that. I mean, if you were just going to do like a straight argument, like first premise, second premise, you know, conclusion, or, you know, some kind of Thomas natural law explanation of it. I do understand, you know, God directly wills life to come in through a married couple, always and everywhere. Okay. But then the question is, the question somebody might say, well, isn't it better to have a new human being? Let's assume that I happen to be a multiple. I'm an identical triplet. So it really offends me that anybody would reduce multiple births in the womb. That's just extremely offensive to me. But in any case, even if you didn't have to do that, I can kind of see someone saying, well, gee, the value of bringing this human life into the world supersedes that, you know, we're violating their dignity, but at least they have life. What would you?
That's
at least a question that pops up in my mind.
Stacy?
Yeah, and so to answer your question about dominating, that is tied to the language the church uses in the catechism about how children, and donum vitae, the whole instruction there, the gift of life, that seeing this life as a gift. So, you know, think of dominating in that context. If you're open to the gift of human life, domination doesn't say I'm open to the gift of human life. Domination says I'm going to take things into my own hand and do things my way. Think of what Mary did. Mary did not dominate. Mary cooperated with God's plan. And we're called to do the same thing. But, you know, why not have a new life? Well, I did get in it. So first of all, in the book, there is a lengthy, the biggest part of the book is a lengthy 10-step argument. The major premise is that God exists, and the minor premises with their own sub-premises, with all their proofs and reference to church documents and philosophical arguments, is laid out in the book in 10 steps, leading up to the last conclusion that IVF is not the way. So I laid it all out, and I invite the reader to poke at it, prod at it, find holes in it. I had editors do that very well. So hopefully I feel like it is a very sound argument, and it's completely based on the church, so obviously it's going to be a sound argument. But why isn't it better? I ended at, after the argument was made and I got into some real life cases of IVF, we don't ever want to lose sight of that hope. So imagine the couple that is, you know, they're practicing Catholics, they suffered the burden of infertility, they used IVF, they now have IVF children. They made a wrong choice to use IVF, but nevertheless, they have children that they love dearly, and their marriage is a united marriage. They have a good marriage, they're raising their kids, they're good parents. There's always hope. Even if IVF is not the way for our society at large to solve the problem of the low birth rate, like President Trump has suggested, you can turn things around. If you dominate and try to take matters into your own hands, and we've all done that, there's always hope, because what you do is, by knowing the right way to do things, knowing what is the right way, you turn your life and your choices. After every confession, we do this. We amend our lives and get back on the right track and seek to restore whatever was lost. And in the case of IVF children, they were denied a right, that they were denied something they had a right to be conceived in this perfect love. And you want to restore that. So that, I mean, that's the bigger answer about why that life still has value. Of course, the life still has value. It's just not the way we want to encourage. It's not the way we want to be bringing human life into existence.
Carl, I'm going to leave that there because we have to take the break now. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is our guest. IVF is not the way. The False Promise of Artificial Procreation is her latest book. You can get it wherever good Catholic books are sold. It's from Sophia Institute Press. Lots of folks on the line, one line open. If you'd like to get in on the conversation and you fill that line, we'll do our very best to get you on with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. 888-318-7884. Again, whether you agree or disagree that IVF is not the way, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. 7884. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme, Go Make Disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The big giant Catholic Answers Conference is coming up in September, last full weekend of September. And we'd love it if you'd come. CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you go. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Chris Stefanik is the keynote speaker this year and a wonderful keynote speaker. Dr. David Anders is going to be there. Just for those two, I'd come. But we got Father Jeff Kirby, Steve Dawson from St. Paul Street Evangelization. Father Paul Check will be there. And all of your favorite Catholic Answers. Do we call them personalities? I'll just call them, most of them have personalities, but we'll call them apologists. We'll do the show live. We'd love it if you'd come. Find out all about it at CatholicAnswersConference.com. And if you decide to come, use the promo code EARLY because you get $50 off your ticket. Promo code EARLY at CatholicAnswersConference.com. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos' new book, IVF is Not the Way, and that's what we are talking about this hour. Jamie is in St. Louis, Missouri. Welcome, Jamie. Got a question for Dr. Trusenkos?
I believe I do.
All right.
So at the stage of development, I'm just curious, when these embryos are frozen, so like at what actual stage of development is this new human being at when they are frozen? So like the, you know, the egg is fertilized, it divides and divides and divides. Are there various stages of development for this human being or these human beings that are being frozen, or is it just like stopped at one point, or how is that played out?
Yeah, Jamie, the answer is they're frozen at the what's called the blastocyst stage. It's about 5 or 6 days after fertilization, and it still is, you know, it looks like a ball of cells, a clump of cells, like 32 cells. And these cells are also totipotent or pluripotent stem cells. So when you hear about human embryonic stem cell research, that is where they get them. They get them from leftover IVF embryos that weren't implanted and are left in these freezers. So I hope that answers your questions. 5 to 6 days after fertilization.
Nope, that was perfect. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks very much for the call. Noelia is in San Antonio, Texas. Noelia, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. I hope I can articulate my question. But I have two nieces that decided to have a child. And so they had the, I'm not sure if it's an IVF or, but either way, they winded up with some twins, and they're the most adorable children. It's broken up my family a little bit because, you know, we were taught that we should not judge and we should love everyone. But some of my family members think, well, no, it's evil. It's against the rule of law. God does not approve of this. But I'm just wondering, is this something that we should embrace as far as just the children, not the situation on how they became to be humans?
Yes.
All right.
So, you know, it's just a very small question, but it's a big deal in my family right now.
Okay.
This is another huge question that people have, and I just, I don't know if you can see that. I just had an article at Catholic Exchange that came out a few days ago, how do you respond to an IVF-conceived person? And it answers that question directly, Noelia, because what we always want to do is look for the good. And obviously, first of all, the only reason we're even talking about this in the context of church teaching is because the church teaches that those children are gifts beloved by God and should be beloved by their parents and their family and the rest of us, the same as any other person. The whole issue around IVF is that the church is affirming the human dignity of these children. So, first of all, your two nieces are, you know, always affirm the goodness of who they're like. You got to be really careful not to make it sound, and it's hard because sometimes people hear things you don't actually say, but they hear it because they maybe feel guilty or something. Don't want to say anything that indicates those children are somehow less than human. Of course, I know you're not saying that. I would never say that. But the church's teaching is because those children deserve the rights and dignity of any other child. So all of the good there. But also, if someone's done this, you know, there is hope. Like I was saying before, this act is done. The parents have already made the decision. They've already done it. And I look at it a lot like, you know, the woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock. We're not going to say in society that women should go around getting pregnant out of wedlock, because that's not good for society. That's not the way to build a strong family. Nevertheless, if that happens and there's a child that comes into existence this way, and that woman's trying to do the right thing, maybe the parents get married, or maybe the father leaves, but the woman goes on to meet another man that will step in and fill that void and restore that right that was taken away from that child when its father left. If there is a turning towards the good, then affirm that. Stick with that. You know, like, we all have sin. We all have things we've done that we need to go to confession for. And if a couple has chosen IVF, that's something they need to repent of and acknowledge. They should not be going around continuing to say this is the right way. But nevertheless, it's a sin that's been in the past. It's fine to love those children, to love their parents, to do all of the family and uniting and affirming things that we do when we love any of our family members. And hopefully, within that bond of love in your family, you can lead your family member to see why IVF wasn't the best choice. But I talked to Catholic families who were, you know, the best case there could be. They're very loving. They regret the IVF decision, but they leave it there. They love their children. They love each other. They're doing everything like the rest of us, trying to build their family.
Okay, Noelia?
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You really helped me understand.
Okay.
That we should all love each other and not judge.
Noelia, thank you very much for the call. This is an important thing that I still run into people who are confused about the Catholic teaching on IVF, who think that it's somehow a rejection of the child that's born. And that nothing could be further from the truth.
No, nothing could be further from the truth. And, you know, I like the parallel with a child that's conceived out of wedlock. Why would you ever treat that child as anything less? You know, if anything, that child was denied certain rights that he or she had. So you want to go lean in. You want to go towards love there. We have to be careful about that.
John's up in Boise, Idaho, listening on 1140 AM. John, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Stacy Drasenkos.
Hey, y'all. I really appreciate the conversation. Let me just start by saying I understand this is a very sensitive subject, and I'll try to frame this in the best way that I can. But I just want to take a little bit of some of the emotion out of it and kind of shift maybe a little back to the theological. And I have to ask, at some point, as a believer, obviously there's unbelievers that will do what they do, but as a Christian, at some point, doesn't this really become an act of trying to sidestep or thwart the will of God to try to kind of appease, quote unquote, a selfish need that I want a child so bad that I will do things that I know I shouldn't be doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is that's the whole language of domination, which is contrary to the idea that children are gifts. And we just need to keep talking about it, because the people who choose IVF don't think of it that way. In the book, I list in chapter 5 the 5 principles of human life, talking about the principle of existence. That it's very theological, and it's based on some language from Joseph Boyle from the 1980s in an academic article that he wrote. But the principle of existence: humans are made in the image and likeness of God, and God grants us our existence throughout all the moments of our life. And the principle of totality, that we're not just body, but body and rational soul. We don't reduce the human to just body. The principle of dignity, that therefore every living human should be treated with the full respect due a person, not as an object, as a means to an end. So that's sometimes what IVF is used for. It's a means to an end to get the baby prayer answered. The principle of procreation, which says we don't separate the unitive and procreative aspects of the conjugal act. And the principle of the principle of procreation is that we procreate in conformity with the dignity of the person. And then the principle of inseparability is not separating the procreative and unitive. If you want a theological basis, it goes through that. That's basically the 5 principles that come from Donum Vitae in the 1980s, that where the church dealt with this question so in depth. It is opposing and thwarting cooperation with God. God's will is that we conform our will to His. You know, pray every day, God, grant me the grace to do your will, because sometimes doing what God wants us to do feels really strange in the moment. It feels really contrary to what we want in the moment. Having raised 7 children, you know, I can tell you life is full of that kind of ups and downs. But we're always casting our will toward God. We're always trying to, but so many instances in all of our lives, we fail to conform our will to God's will. So we're always turning back towards the right way.
John, thank you. That takes us right to the break. Right back with more questions for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos on her new book, IVF is Not the Way, The False Promise of Artificial Procreation. We've got room for a couple more questions. If you want to get on the line, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN: to reach the world with a gospel message. At EWTN, we value your opinions and suggestions on what you hear on EWTN Radio. Call our listener comment line 24/7 at 205-795-5773. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, our guest. The new book is IVF is Not the Way, The False Promise of Artificial Procreation. It's from Sophia Institute Press, and they just do wonderful books at Sophia Institute Press. And you can get the book starting tomorrow at sophiainstitute.com. Go to sophiainstitute.com and get your copy. And this is one of those, I think, Stacy, this is one of those that's a long argument. That this is an argument the church needs to make to the whole world over time. It's not an easy one to get right off the bat. I mean, I feel like in the pro-life movement, we saw that with abortion, where it's the pro-life position seems so dumb to so many people to start, and you've just got to start making the argument one by one, helping people see it. So I assume that's what you're intending here, is to make a contribution to that.
Yeah, I really hope people take the book. I'm an organized thinker. Like I'm very left-brained, and I was told many times you're being too left-brained. But also in the philosophy and theology and science of the book, it also removes the emotion in the argument part of the book, just for someone struggling to maybe not be confronted with emotions, but just to see the logic that's laid out for the church. I find that very useful. And of course, I get into more emotional stuff at the last part of the book, but the bulk of the book just lays out the argument from beginning to end.
What's it like to be an organized thinker? I just can't imagine that, Stacy.
I'm the kind of person that doesn't like poetry. I'm like, just say what you got to say and stop trying to be all fluffy.
Oh, man. I'm the kind of person that doesn't like poetry. Could we cut that out and we'll play that whenever Stacy's on? That's a gravestone quote right there. She was the kind of person that didn't like poetry. Monique is in Idaho listening on the Salt and Light Radio Network. We're glad you're here. Monique, go ahead with your question.
Well, I'm in my early 40s, and we're trying to have a baby, and we've been trying since we got married at 30.
Oh.
And so it hasn't happened yet, and some of it I think is health related, but also they told me my egg count is low, and then also the egg quality is poor. So I just felt IVF was the only way. I was at dire straits, really, because I know God has a plan for me and my husband, but I feel like, you know, you go through so many emotions trying to get pregnant, and when it's not happening and you're like, I'm built to do this, you know, I was made to do this by God, you know, have a baby, but it's not happening. So I feel like I'm less of a woman, in that stance, but you know, so it's very, emotional and very crushing for me to not be able to do it. But that's all I have to say about that.
Stacy?
Monique, and I would say that I was thinking of you when I was writing this book. It's a very hard book to write. And I interviewed two women, and I hope you do read their stories. I'll send you the book if they want to get your address. I'll happily send you a copy. I interviewed one woman who heard what she said first to me when I talked to her is, this is what I wish someone had told me before she chose IVF. She was very much in your situation, even to the point where the doctors had told her eggs weren't good. So she and her husband, they're Catholics. They started IVF for the same reason, had been trying about 10 years, no babies, and that's all she ever wanted. And so she didn't understand why God wasn't giving her the one thing she felt like she needed. She felt like the doctors were telling her that she was broken. And she said, once you get into this IVF process, you become, quoting her, she said, we became invested financially, physically, and emotionally and developed tunnel vision. You don't even start asking questions about what else God might be calling you to do. And what happened in her situation is they did use, she's anonymous, they used another woman's eggs, and she got two children out of that. But she said 12 years later, she regrets that decision more than anything else in her life because it caused a rift in her marriage. You know, the husband goes off somewhere else to collect the sperm, you know what I'm talking about, and they haven't told the children that she's not actually their biological mom, and she doesn't know how to tell them. And it caused problems in her marriage because they had embryos in a freezer, and she and her husband couldn't talk about it. They couldn't bring themselves to talk about it, and it caused all kinds of communication problems in their marriage. And in tears, she was telling me 12 or 13 years later, I hope someone, her name she used was Angela, because that is a message from God, angel, a messenger from God. She wanted that message to get out to women like you, that you're not a failure, you're not broken. And she wishes somebody had told her all that before she made that decision, that there are other ways to be a mother. I dedicated the book to my aunt and uncle. My aunt became infertile, also only wanted babies. That was her greatest goal in life. She became infertile after her first pregnancy was a loss, and something happened with her uterus, and she was never able to conceive. But my aunt and uncle, now married over 60 years, went on to foster parent over 100 children. And because of that, they have so many grandchildren out there now who see them as parents of a sort, who were there for them in a way that nobody else was at a time when they needed it. The kids they foster parented are grown now and have their own children, and they are flooded with cards and visits and phone calls at Christmas and birthday and all throughout the year because of all of these children that they became parents to. So, you know, I don't know what God has in store for you exactly. Infertility can be a very bitter gift, but IVF convinces you you're broken and it's the only way, when there actually are other solutions, whether it's a natural solution or whether you're just called to something else that you didn't want or expect.
Monique, thank you very much for the call. I'm very sorry. I would like to point you to a website called springsinthedesert.org, Catholic women who have had experiences similar to yours. Really an extraordinary ministry. So if you'd like to check it out, springsinthedesert.org. Thank you, Monique. I'm going to try to get everybody on if I can, and there's a couple more here. Mary's in Germantown, Maryland. Welcome, Mary. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a niece who is trying to get pregnant, and she and her husband have spoken to me that if it doesn't work naturally, that they're considering IVF because his brother's wife has actually conceived via IVF successfully. And so they already have a slant towards IVF being okay. They do not share my faith. And I just want to ask, how do I respond without saying too much? But yet I can't be happy if they end up telling me that they're actually going to start IVF. What do I say in my response to them
in a way that I'm not coming across as judgmental or bossy, because they're not going to ask my opinion. They already have a positive attitude towards IBF.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could guide me, I'd like to be prepared in case that situation happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're also the reason I wrote the book, because I think a lot of people are going to be having this question now, because our president has said he wants to make IVF available and more affordable for couples, because he sees it as a solution to people having more babies. So, you know, you're already going to be fighting that attitude. And I don't want to just say go buy the book and read it, but I wrote the book with that in mind. You have to know the full big argument, because what your relative could end up doing is asking you, how do we know that embryos are human? How do we know that humans are special and unique and are dignified? How do we know? So it could lead to all kinds of in-depth conversations about what God has revealed to us and what the Catholic Church guards as the deposit of faith and the truth. So, you know, try to see it. I can't say exactly what to say to her. I can just say, enter into that bond of friendship. You have to be nimble here and not push too hard. You have to respect their autonomy, meaning if they do choose to go down this path, it's not over. Keep the relationship open, keep the hope open, and just walk that road with them. It's like any kind of relationship. You're in it for the long haul.
Mary, I want to try to get everybody on if I could. So I'm going to just say thank you and keep moving. Rose is in Pennsylvania. Rose, thank you for waiting. If you could be a little bit quick, that will help Dr. Stacy respond.
Hi. Thank you. It's just really a comment that my husband and I were struggling with having children, and I was upset. He was upset. And then we went to a company to talk about IVF. And then when I was there, the woman told us all about it. And I asked lots of questions. And then near the end of the conversation, she said, well, when the eggs don't make it, how would you like to have the burial for them? And when she said that to me, that's when it dawned on me that, oh, my God, I can't do this. This is totally unnatural. I can't bury the embryo, other children, that I'm just selfish. I felt very selfish. And I realized that I was in love with my own DNA for myself and my husband's DNA. And I decided I'm going to just try for adoption. And I think Trump should try and make adoption a little easier, because that is difficult. And that's what I wanted to share. And I know it's a painful journey.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Stacy, I feel like I can get somebody else on. We'll give it a try. Paul's in Alabama. Paul, if you could try to be quick with your question, we'll do our best to get you an answer from Dr. Stacy Trisankos.
Oh, I was just going to say that my daughter is in her mid-40s, and they tried the IVF for a couple of years, and I think they didn't plan, and then they lose it, and this, that, that. And finally, they gave up, and then they conceived naturally, and now they have a beautiful boy.
Oh.
I was wondering if there was a lot of problems with the IVF taking, because they kept losing them, so it interferes with the natural cycle and somehow. And
what's the science on that, Stacy?
Are people having what?
Yeah, and that, Paul, your question and comment tie into the previous one. The reason that IVF clinics want to produce more than one embryo, which is very hard on the woman's body because they have to give her an unnatural amount of hormones to get her body to produce more eggs than it normally does in a cycle. The reason they want to produce more embryos is because it's expensive, and they want to have backups in case the embryos they implant don't come to full-term birth, like you're saying. Because most of them, a lot of them don't. And clinics are, their bragging rights, or what they promote to the world, are their success rates, which means how many embryos they're able, how many babies are result from their cycles of collecting eggs and fertilizing them. So they do have a hard time. One of the people I interviewed for the book said that she works with nurses who work in the NICU. And all the NICU nurses say they won't use IVF because they see even when these babies are born, they have more problems. And I just want to tell you about United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. They have an article about the health consequences for the children born of IVF.
Ah, I'm so glad we were able to have that conversation, even though we had to have it quickly. Paul, thank you very much for the call. IVF is not the way, the false promise of artificial procreation. Dr. Stacy Trusenko is the author. The book is available tomorrow at Sophia Institute Press. Just go to sophiainstitute.com and get your copy and be ready to have these conversations. Dr. Stacy Trusenko, it is always a pleasure. Thanks very much for starting us off this week.
Thank you, Cy. Thank you.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk with our good friend Scott Wieman about Catholicism, addiction, and recovery. If you'd like to get involved in that conversation, give a call, 888-318-7884.